Lord, we just thank you for your word. May it always be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And may we always hide it in our heart, Lord, that we may not sin against you. I was thinking about these verses and kind of go along with what I'll be talking about today. And was thinking of what the Lord said to Peter at the end of John 21, after he had told him to, you know, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And, you know, love me, tend my sheep. Then he says, truly I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. When Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had also leaned back on his breast at the supper, said, Lord, who is the one, and said, who is the one who betrays you? So Peter, seeing him, said, Jesus, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me, right? And just, you know, talking to Peter, saying, you know, when you get older, you'll be taken to places which you do not wish to go. And the Lord does that with us. Right? If he gave us, hey, would you like to go here? Would you like this? You know, he saying to Peter, hey, Peter, you know, would you like later on in life to be crucified upside down, you know, for me? He'd probably say, well, no, you know. I think that word meant a lot more than that. And John was saying that many times the Lord leads us into places or seasons where we don't want to go, you know, but it's necessary, right? We got to walk. We got to follow him there. And just as an encouragement, just going to read some scripture to you about, again, familiar things you've heard me talk about a lot, but they're just becoming more real and real to me. And, you know, when something's real to you, and you know, the greatest thing is testimony, because testimony is so real to you, right? Where you have encountered the Lord in any area, you carry a testimony, and there's an anointing on that, right? And this is out of, we'll just go out a few places. This is out of Romans 8. I love these. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You have not received the spirit of slavery, leaving to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're children of God, and if we're children, we're heirs. We're heirs of God, and we're fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed, little clause here, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. And that suffering with him kind of just caught my attention today, you know? It doesn't say suffer for him. It says suffer with him, right? In Philippians chapter 3, it says the fellowship of his sufferings. And in Colossians chapter 1, Paul talks about that in my body, I'm making up the suffering. Let me read that one. It's so good. I'm kind of butchering it here, trying to quote it. My quoting is not as good as it used to be. It's a really good verse. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. He's saying for them. It's for you. And in my flesh, I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Really? He didn't say my, he said his afflictions, right? So, when you're going through something, then it goes on to say in Romans chapter 8, I got to read this because it's so good. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's to be revealed, right? You've heard me say this before, the suffering always brings glory. But you're suffering with him, you're in Christ. You're not doing it alone, right? And this is in 2 Corinthians 4. Really good stuff here. I got to read this because it's so good. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our mortal flesh. Death works in us, but life in you. There's always that principle there. The death God does in us is for the life of other people. For you, but it's always about giving others life. And having the same spirit according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we believe, therefore we speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. And that's kind of a now word. That's not way in the future when I'm raised. It's like God will always raise you up, and you'll be raised with Jesus, right? In Christ. Therefore, we do not lose heart. There's the battle. Don't lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. There's nothing to compare with. Isn't that a great verse? And while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but those which are not seen are eternal. You know, and this light affliction doesn't mean like light in the sense of it's just kind of, you know, like I step on something. It's kind of light. It's not like I'm going to get my foot cut off. I just step. You know. The light is the same word when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's only used twice in Scripture. One there, Matthew, and here. Light meaning because he shares with it. It's just like taking his yoke upon you. You know, it's his yoke, right? He bears it. I'm in fellowship with him. I'm not carrying this on my own. He's carrying it, right? I'm in union with that. So that light is, it's light affliction because he's doing it in a sense. You see, he's carrying it. I'm yoked to that. That's encouraging, isn't it? And it produces, I love that, it produces such a weight of glory, presence of God, that there's nothing that you can compare it to. And these are personal words for us when he's writing this. This is for these guys, you know. So that, when God begins to speak those things to us, which he's speaking to you now, to me, right? What you get is worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth what you have to go through to get there. And what David read yesterday, you know, we always read about this awesome anointing Paul walked in, you know, the revelations and the, you know, handkerchiefs healing people, and but we don't like to read what it took to get him there, you know. Or we finish up with these, and there's so much we could do here, and so many principles, but this is probably one of my favorite in 1 Peter chapter 4, writing to a people who were undergoing a lot of persecution and suffering. It says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at this fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you." And that word surprise there is like, when you receive a guest, you're opening your door and you're surprised to see someone there. Like, man, I'm surprised you're here. You know, I didn't know you were coming. It's kind of the same thing. Is that when you open the door, or this is happening to you, don't be surprised like it's some strange thing. Like, I don't want to see you slam the door, you know. Like it's a stranger. It really means to embrace that thing. It's not a stranger, okay? And again, but to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Christ. He says it again. You know, Peter's saying this now. To the degree that we share in the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. So that also at the revelation of his glory, again, when that says, that's just God's presence, the revelation of more of him, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of God and glory rest on you. Think about that. When God calls us to places we don't want to go, knocks on the door, and we embrace it, the Spirit of God and of His glory rest on us. On that moment until we walk through that whole fiery ordeal, it says, to the very end. And your reward at the end is more of Him, more of His presence. Right? Now that won't mean anything to you if His presence is not what you desire, right? But if it is, that is what you get. And saying that there's nothing to be compared to it, right? So in ways, the Lord has just been re-speaking these things. He's encouraging me, having people come give me words that this trial and testing I'm going through now will come to an end at some point in time. But I don't focus on that. What I'm focusing on is the glory to be revealed. and the weight of His glory resting on me. Okay? That word is for everybody. You know, Kelly's, what he's going through is much more serious than mine, but that word is still the same with him. It's of Christ, in Christ. His. He's entered into that fellowship of that. And it always brings that life, right? There's that biblical principle, right? Death and life. You can't get life without the death. There's no shortcuts, y'all, right? You hadn't discovered that yet. There's no shortcuts in the kingdom, right? But thank you. That just really ministered to me as God saying, Craig, this is mine. Take this yoke, you know. I carry this, right? There's a fellowship there. And there's a deep fellowship that you cannot know any other way, right? So be encouraged. It's worth it. More of Jesus is worth it, right? If he's constantly, we carry around in our bodies the dying of Jesus so the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh, right? Now, just thinking about, you know, our brothers in the, the Catholic Church, and they really have a lot of revelation in this area, you know. Not as much revelation we may have as in the healing area, right? But it's both, right? We contend to pray, right, for healing. That's what we're called to do. And I'm going to get prayer. I get prayer every day. People everywhere are praying for me to be healed. And I believe I will. I believe the Lord's spoken that to me. And but on this journey, I don't want to miss what He's doing. And I know you don't either. So, Lord, we just thank you. And I pray for everyone who's going through things here. Lord, it's a personal thing that you kind of carved out for each of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your spirit rests on us. Thank you, Jesus. We want more of you. More of you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.